You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, and Akut right here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We'll go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Jim in Concord, welcome to the show.
How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, I live out here in Lake County. I remember Wilhelm playing in that small Metter stadium against Lake Catholic, and I was CYO coach. I was a CYO coach. That was a good game. I don't remember who won, but you dominated that game.
Of course he did.
He was tough. He was tough.
I appreciate it, man. Thank
Parade
you.
All-American.
And then, but what I was going to say is, you know, Johnny's going to get his chance. There's all number one picks do. I still like Connor Shaw. Petten said he had not the greatest arm, but I think by the end of the year, the kid was throwing so many passes, I think he had a dead arm. I worked with quarterbacks in high school, and sometimes by the end of the year, their arms are dead. And I think Shaw by the time he started that game, he had a dead arm. So I see him play about seven times in college, and the kid could throw. So don't give up on him.
Yeah, I don't mean to disagree with you, but he didn't even play quarterback on the scout team. He was playing wide receiver, so I don't think he had a dead arm. I just don't think he has a good arm. He's a great backup quarterback to have in the system, but we're not going to the Super Bowl with Connor Shaw as our starting quarterback.
If Connor Shaw was in, you know, a different player's body and had a different, you know, arm, he's everything you want. He's the consummate professional. He's a perfect guy for your team. I think he's fantastic, and I love what he brings to this locker room. But he is what you said. Unless he can develop, and I don't know how much arm strength can be developed that way, but unless he can develop significant arm strength, I think you're exactly right.
He's great to have on the team.
And great. One of my favorite guys on the entire team.
At all. I love him in the locker room, but that's not going to be our long-term answer at quarterback. And I think anybody in this building not named Connor Shaw would tell you the same
thing. Not at all. And I mean, it's great. He's not hurting us at all being a member of the practice squad. He
Absolutely.
Adds so much value to that locker room and for Johnny and everything he's gone through this offseason. You know, let Connor Shaw be the template of who you want to become, but because you are Johnny Manziel, you've played at a higher level, you've won the Heisman, you've got the stronger arm, you're more elusive, and all those things that we love about you, which is what made you a first-round pick, hopefully that rubs up on you and it helps you become the professional that you have to be to maintain your career in the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is what it is all about. Let's go now to John and Avon Lake. John, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing today?
Good man. How are you?
I'm all right. Hey, Matt, I got to give you props. Ever since I started seeing you in college and NFL, you were a beast.
Thank you, bro.
So good for you. Yep, but this is a question for you and Munch that I've always wanted to know. I'm a Michigan fan.
All right, sorry for that.
Go Blue!
How many tattoos and free other stuff did that ref get after he threw the most latest call I've ever seen in a game in my life for the championship game?
Oh, the championship
Miami?
Game there where we weren't even supposed to be in.
What was the over and under on the tattoos for the ref's family?
Oh, 33.
There you go.
Listen,
thank you.
I'm a huge Michigan fan, as some of you may know, and I just want to say for the record that Ohio State championship was not tainted because there was a call earlier in the game, and believe me, I had some shekels on Miami in that game. There was a call earlier in that game that went against Ohio State. That particular call I don't think was a good call, but the fact of the matter was Ohio State won that game fair and square, and they beat, in my mind, one of the greatest offenses in college football history.
Offenses? I mean, look at the defense. Sean Taylor, Jonathan Vilma.
I thought that offense was pretty unstoppable. I thought the fact that you guys shut them down was I was not expecting
what's
that
funny about what, you know what's funny about that game, just to touch upon it, is Frank Gore was a medical redshirt that year because he had torn his ACL in training camp, and he was going to be the guy. He actually played Maurice Claret in practice on the scout team to get the defense ready to play Claret.
Yeah, I mean,
a little fruit for thought.
That was
Michigan wasn't even they weren't even the second best team in that conference that year, because Iowa was would have beat you guys too.
Well, let's be fair about this though. We were driving for the winning score. It wasn't like you blew us out that year.
14-9.
You intercepted
double digit tackles, few for a loss.
What was that Pass clown's deflection. Name? John Navarro. He was one of our worst quarterbacks. I hated him. And that
you guys can't recruit. Sorry, it's not our fault.
Not yet. Not at that time, maybe. But watch out, my friend. Watch out.
Okay.
Here comes Harbaugh.
Yeah. Same thing Brian Kelly said. They're outside looking in, too.
I'll take Jim Harbaugh over Brian Kelly 10 times out of 10.
All right. You guys won't play. Well, now that the rivalry's over, you guys don't want to play Notre Dame anymore.
Wait a minute. Notre Dame
that's
was the one that
that's the way I heard it.
The Notre Dame canceled
moving
that
on,
rivalry.
Nathan, what did you say? Go ahead.
Let's go to James in Portland now. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good, man. I want to talk about this defense because I think we all agree we're close, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We are right there, maybe two players away on that front seven. But the guy I want to talk about, nobody's talking about at the uniform reveal, Armani Bryant looked good. Standing next to Barkevious, he looked just a little bit bigger than Kiki. And everybody wants to talk about Kiki's a little too small. Sorry, Kiki's a little too small, but Armani looked good. He looked like he's ready to get after the quarterback. What do you guys think?
I love
Armani Bryant.
I always think it's good to take a guy in a jersey and try to analyze him. I do that a lot also. I do think that Armani Bryant is going to have a nice season this year, though. You know, I look for a breakout season from him.
He is an excellent rusher.
My only question is how adaptable will he be to play a significant amount of reps out of a two-point stance, which is very, very difficult for a lot of rushers who play with their hand on the ground.
It is, but I think that they can move him around and put him in a lot of places. But, yeah, if he's at that outside linebacker, he's going to be stand-up. With the way that he's built, I think he's going to have a good get-off from a two-point stance.
Okay.
I really do. I'm excited to see him.
It's tough. Some guys, you know, and to me, I think, you know, his get-off is great. We saw that last year. But I think also, too, out of a three-point stance, you'll naturally play lower, you know, when you're starting, you know, 3 feet off the ground as opposed to 6 feet, 4 inches off the ground. You're just a bigger target, and that's why there's time that it takes to become adapted to rushing out of a two-point stance. And there's moves that you do in a two-point or lead with that you just can't out of a three-point and vice versa.
It's true.
Is it akin to, like, changing your golf swing where you just don't feel comfortable? Because is it that big of a difference or not so much?
Yeah, well, no, you know what? It's almost like, you know, if you're a right-handed batter or a right-handed golfer and you go over to your friend's house who's a lefty and you're going out and you want to chip in the backyard and all he's got is left-handed clubs. And you want to start – and just that awkward –
yeah.
This just feels different, you know, and you wouldn't think it'd be, even though then it's like, which then also too, they have to be able to, you know, if I'm rushing from the right, I have my left foot forward. If I'm rushing from the, you know, and in some cases when guys are, you know, ambidextrous when it comes to their stances now, but some guys, when they got to go get the passer and doesn't matter who's blocking them, they get in the stance, that speed stance that they don't care, you know, if they're on the wrong side or they're given any tell, it's I'm coming to get the quarterback. Because I'm unstoppable in this stance with my get off, with my move, you can't stop me. That's just you have to reverse all those things. And then lastly, when you're standing up, you can't just go. If Armani Bryant's in a stand up 2-point position, and I'm a quarterback or a tight end or whoever offensive coordinator, he's coming every time. So you turn your protection to a guy like him. And again, opposite Paul Kruger, we know Paul Kruger ain't dropping. So you know exactly what the defense is given. So for Armani Bryant to take his hand off the ground and play in a two-point, there's going to be times where he can come or is rushing. There's going to be times where he's not, and he's not, and he hasn't dropped a whole lot or played coverage in his career from a three-point stance.
Which is very true. That'll be a little bit of a transition for him. All right, when we come back, we're going to finish up our first hour. You guys keep banging the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We'll take your phone calls when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Zagura, Wilhelm, Kyle.